Okay, let's go. So we're continuing our share from last week, which deals with we were dealing with issues to do with the Sheva Brachot, and we'll continue in Shulchan Aruch momentarily. But one of the final issues that we discussed in terms of the Sheva Brachot last week was the question of the Panim Chadashot, and I made reference to this question of how many Panim Chadashot are required. That's the we usually assume that just one is required, but I mentioned that there are those poskim who say that more than one is required, and that generated a little bit of surprise and a little bit of discussion on the grounds that the term panim. Panim is, whilst it's a plural word, it refers to one person usually rather than multiple people. So we shouldn't necessarily read into it that it means more than that. There is a tshuva of Rav Ovadia Yosef in Yabia Omer, Chelek Gimel, Even Ha'ezer Simon Yud Aleph, where he discusses this issue, and he does bring down at the beginning of the tshuva from a number of Rishonim, the Aruch and the Ritva and various the Orchot Chaim and various others that of course it only means one new person needs to be present. He then looks at the Lashon of the Rambam, which we of course saw last week, and the Lashon of the Rambam is when do you only say the bracha of Asher Bara? When the people at the meal have already heard the brachot at the wedding. But if the people at the meal are others, Sheloshamu Birkat Nisuin, Mvarachim Bishvilam Acha Birkat Hamazon Sheva Brachot, now we understood this last week in the way that most Achronim indeed do understand it, as saying that im hayu ha'ochlin acherim. So if some of the people eating were others shelo shamu birkat nisuin, who hadn't already heard the sheva brachot, so then we say them after birkat hamazon. Provided there are 10 people present. You can't say the Sheva Brachot without a minyan. That was the Mishnah that we referred to last week from Masechet Megillah, that Birkat Chatanim is one of those things that requires Asara. However, there are a number of Achronim, Rav Ovadia points out, who say that in actual fact what the Rambam is saying, that all 10 people present need to be panim chadashot, because the lashon of the Rambam was avinim hayu ochlim acherim mevarachim bishvilam v'hu sheyu asara, provided there are 10 of them. So yes v'chatanim min haminyan. Correct. Okay, that's a taina that some those who argue against it bring. But Rav Ovadia does bring a number of achronim who do say like that. He also brings down that of course that it doesn't make sense because of v'chatanim min haminyan, and that is brought down. He brings down from a tshuva of Rabbi Avraham ben Harambam. So this is a very important source. The first thing that Rabbi Avraham ben Harambam says is exactly what Yisrael just said, that it doesn't make sense to say that there need to be 10. V'yot v'inan na lidvarav zal v'chataminim min aminyan v'hachatanim einam panim chadashot. Okay, it can't be that the chatanim are panim chadashot, so therefore it doesn't make sense to say that you would need 2. However, Rabbi Avraham ben Harambam goes on to say, umuvan achirim rabim olachol ha'pachot shnayim. So it's no authority less than Rabbi Avraham ben Harambam is the one who says that it needs to be at least two people present, and that's his understanding of what his father, the Rambam, wrote. So that's a very significant shita, obviously going back a very long way. One can debate whether that's exactly what the Rambam said, but that's certainly how the Rambam's son understood it. Very significantly, that seems to be the maskana of Rav Avadya. Rav Avadya's maskana is that certainly in Eretz Yisrael, which he describes as being the Atra de Rambam, that one needs to follow the Rambam in Eretz Yisrael, and to need two people as panim chadashot. And he says, you know, and that's true anywhere else, unless there's a fixed minhag that you only need one. If the minhag is to only have one panim chadashot, so one can rely on that. But unless somebody says, "No, our minhag is we've always said with just one person," then in the first instance you should be looking for two. So that's very significant that that's the way that the Rambam is the Rav Avadya is ruling. So it's certainly not a marginal opinion there.
No,
not in the sources that you gave us, that I gave you, rather. It's as I say, it's Yabia Omer, Chelek Gimel, Eben Ha'ezer, Simon Yud Aleph. So you can you can find that, I'm sure yourselves. So that was the first thing I wanted to flag up. Let's move now in the Shulchan Aruch to Se'if Tet. So this is in Simon Samach Bet, Se'if Tet. Okay, last week we did up to Se'if Chet, and this week I want us to look at Se'if Tet, which is now going to be talking about the Kos. So let's look at Se'if Tet. So the Mechaber says, Yesh Omrim She'ein Lo Marzayim Brachot Al Kos Birkat HaMazon. Elam evi kos acher v'omer alav zayin brachot v'chozev lokech kosher b'kat hamazon v'omer alav borei pri agafen. So there is a daya, he says. This is the view of the Tosfot in Masechet Pesachim, that one doesn't say the sheva brachot, or I suppose really the sheish brachot. The lashon here is interesting. Shulchan Aruch, Simon Samach Bet, Se'if Tet.
Mine has Vav instead of Zion.
Well, that's good to hear. Mine has Zion, but I'm sure it should say Vav. You've obviously got either a more up-to-date edition, or you've got an original edition. So, Yesh Omrim She'ein Omer Zayin Brachot Al Kosher B'Kat HaMazon, Ela Mevi Kos Acher V'Omer Alav. Presumably, it should be Vav Brachot, because he says, V'Kosher V'Lokeach Kosher B'Kat HaMazon, V'Omer Alav Borei Pri Agafen. So, why is this? This is because we've got a principle, Ein Osim Mitzvot, Chavilot, Chavilot, that we don't bundle mitzvot together. We've got here two separate mitzvot, a mitzvah of Birkat HaMazon, and a mitzvah of Birkat Chatanim. And therefore, you need two separate kosot for them. Or you might ask on Yom Tov night, when Yom Tov's on a Motzei Shabbat, we will use one kos for Yak Nahas. Why don't we say it's a problem of Einosin Mitzvot Chavilot Chavilot? So the answer that the Tosfot gives is that... The answer that Tosfot gives is because now Kiddush and Havdalah are essentially the same mitzvah. They're the same. They're both part of the mitzvah of Zachor et Yom HaShabbat LeKadosho. So it's not mitzvot chavilot chavilot. Where here Birkat HaMazon and Birkat Chatanim are two totally different mitzvot. So that's the first view in the Shulchan Aruch, and then the second view is Yishon Rim Shein Sarich. El al kosher b'kat hamazon mevarich zayin brachot Lachem Parashat HaMinhag. There are those who say that you don't need two kosot, and you can use one kos, and that is the general minhag. What's the rationale behind this second position? So the rationale behind the second position is that seeing as the Sheva Brachot are only being recited because of Birkat HaMazon, so they're not regarded as mitzvot chavilot chavilot. They're regarded as part and parcel of Birkat HaMazon, and that will certainly be true if we, follow our understanding of the Rambam last week, where we saw where does the Rambam place the din of the Sheva Brachot. He places it as being part of Birkat HaMazon. So, we had this, at least from a Londisher perspective, the opportunity to present the suggestion that, according to the Rambam, usually Birkat HaMazon is four brachot, and when you've got when you're including Birkat Chatanim, it's actually 10 brachot plus Borei Pri Hagafen, so that it's part and parcel of Birkat HaMazon, in which case you would definitely only have one kos. And then the Rama, or Pseudo Rama, adds, "V'imdinot elu noagin kisvara harishona." So where we are, we follow the first shita. "V'yishomrim da'afilu la'asher bara lechud ba'inan shtei kosot." There are those who say, even if we're only saying the bracha of Asher Bara, i.e. we're not saying all of the Shev Brachot because we haven't got Panim Chadashot, nevertheless, you still need a second kos. And then, Birkat Eirusin, Birkat Chatanim, Omrim Otal Shtei Kosot, Afilu Mekadesh Pshat Achupa. So this isn't so relevant to our discussion, but you certainly say Eirusin and Birkat Chatanim over two separate Kosot. V'nogin Lahafsik Ben Hemik Kriyat HaKetubah, and we read to the Ketubah in between to make a Hefsek. But we're interested in Birkat HaMazon. Can the Sfardim amongst us confirm that Sfardi practice is to only use one kos at a Sheva Brachot?
Yep, last time I was in one.
Excellent, very good. Okay, thank you. That's good to know. So the practice of Ashkenazim is to use two kosot, even though we only have we only say Borei Pri HaGafen over one of them, and the Sfardim use one kos. So what do Ashkenazim do? Ashkenazim do, you hold the kos of Birkat HaMazon for Birkat HaMazon. The end of Birkat HaMazon, you put the kos down. You take the second kos, and you say the Sheish Brachot over it. Then you put it down, and then you pick up the first kos again for Borei Pri HaGafen, because that was the kos shel Birkat HaMazon. Now, a big question in the Achronim is about the pouring of the kosot. How do you pour the kosot? What order are you supposed to pour them? And what are you supposed to do with them during the course of Birkat HaMazon? So I want us to look on the source sheets that I shared with you last week. And you will see as follows. It relates back to a sugya in Orach Chaim in Simon Kuf Mem Zayin. So Kuf Mem Zayin Se'if Chet, which is, of course, Hilchot Kriyat HaTorah, says as follows. V'yom she'ish bo beit Sifrei Torah. So on a day when we've got two Sifrei Torah, lo yiftachu ha-bet v'lo yasiru ha-mapa ad she'igalalu ha-rishon. So you don't take the cover off the second Sefer Torah until you've wrapped up and closed the first Sefer Torah, or closed and wrapped up the first Sefer Torah. And then the Rama says, "V'ema salkin harishona ad shekvar hinichu hashniyah lashulchan shelo yasichu datan min hamitzvot." You don't remove the first Sefer Torah from the bimah till you've put the second one down on the bimah, shelo yasichu data min hamitzvot, so you don't get distracted from the mitzvot. Umotzin beit hasfarim ka'achat. Now this is our interesting point. Umotzin beit hasfarim ka'achat. So the Rama says, you take Shabbat Rosh Chodesh, you take out both Sifrei Torah from the Aron HaKodesh at the same time. V'tofsim bashnia ad acha shekaru barishona. And you keep hold of the second one. Somebody sits holding the second one till you finished the laning from the first one. One might have thought that you lain from the first one, put it back in the Aron HaKodesh, and then take out the second Sefer Torah. But the Rama is saying we take both out at the same time. So what's all this to do with? So let's look at the Magen Avraham there. So the Magen Avraham is addressing this question of Ein Osim Mitzvot Chavilot Chavilot, and he says as follows: Sot Adaf Hey Amrinan Ein Mashkim Beit Sotok Ka'achat, Ve'Ein Matarim Beit Mitzorim Ka'achat, Ve'Ein Rots Im Beit Avadim, Ve'Ein Orfin Beit Agalot Ka'achat. Shein Osim Mitzvot Chavilot Chavilot. So if you've got two Sotot who need to drink the Meisota, or you've got two Metzoraim who need to go through their purification process, or two Avadim that you're going to be drilling holes in their ears, or two Eglot Arufot that you're going to have to break the necks of, you don't do it Ka'achat. That's a slightly ambivalent, ambiguous term, which I'm deliberately leaving. Well, that the two possibilities are you don't do them at the same time, or you don't do them simultaneously. We'll see what it means. Ka'achat. Shein osim mitzvot chavilot chavilot. Because you don't bundle mitzvot together. V'kat v'hatosvot sh'asur lahamid shtem ba'azara b'vat achat. Afal pi she'ein shotot ka'achat. So the Tosfot holds that where you've got two Sotot, obviously the procedure with the Sota takes place in the Azara of the Beit HaMikdash. You don't bring both Sotot into the Azara at the same time, even though you're not going to be doing the two ceremonies in parallel, you're going to be doing them consecutively, one after the other. You still don't even bring them into the Azara at the same time. But Tema, and the Magen Avraham says this is strange. V'chi aya oseh b'chai gavla lahamid beit zvachim ka'achat bazara v'shchot achat v'achat ka'achat sheni. If you're saying that, then that would mean that you've got two korbanot that you want to offer up. You couldn't bring them both into the azara at the same time. Deal with the first korban and then deal with the second korban. If you're worried about mamish bringing them into the azara at the same time as being ein osim mitzvot chavilot chavilot. Umasik bigmara b'kohen echad ein mashkin, uvaveit kohanim mashkin. So the conclusion in the Gemara, he says, is that b'kohen echad ein mashkin, you can't be mashke, you can't give the two sotot to drink ka'achat with one kohen, but you can with two kohanim. But there's still going to be a question about this. But tzarech yonah Rambam shepasak stam v'lochilek. Now, the Rambam doesn't mention a difference between one coin and two coinim. Lachein nireli shuma farish ipcha. So he says, I think that the Rambam understands things the other way round. De coin achat al korcheich mashke otam zeachar zeh. If it's one coin, obviously he can't give them both to drink simultaneously. Lachein afar pishe ma'amidim bevat achat ba'azara shapit dami. So therefore, the fact that you're bringing them into the Azara at the same time, that doesn't matter because you're not going to be doing the Hashka'at HaSotah in one go. Aval b'veit kohanim shemashikin b'vat achat, zeh achat v'zeh achat asur. But to have two kohanim operating in parallel, simultaneously, that would be problematic. So let's see how he sums this up. So he says, according to the Rambam, let's say you've got two britot, and this is in Yorateh, this is his own discussion about if you've got a Brit Milah of twins. There's a shir on Wayu Torah that I gave on this subject a month or two ago. You can find it. Brit Milah of twins. But so the Rambam says you've got two babies you need to do Brit Milah on. You can bring them both into the shul together, do Brit Milah on one, and then do Brit Milah on the other. because that's not a osin shtei mitzvot bevat achat. That's you're doing one mitzvah and then you're doing the second mitzvah. Aval olam bevat achat bishnei moalim asur. But you couldn't have two moalim working on two babies in parallel. Okay, that because that would be doing mitzvot chavilot chavilot. However, the Tosfot says it the other way round. And the Tosfot says, Asur lahaviyam bevat achat lemulam zeh achar zeh. You can't bring the two babies in one go to do Mila one after the other, even with one moel, because that is osin mitzvot chavilot chavilot. You're bringing the two mitzvot together for you yourself to do them, albeit one after the other. But you're bringing them to the table, as it were, or to the kisei shel Eliyahu in one go. And that's osin mitzvot chavilot chavilot. Aval lemulam bevat achat b'shnei moalim shari. If you've got two moalim, so it's not osin mitzvot chavilot chavilot. There happens to be two people doing a doing a mitzvah at the same time, but that's not osin mitzvot chavilot chavilot. And I suppose, you know, thinking about it, you know, with the korban pesach, you know, you had hundreds of people in the azara, you know, all doing, you know, Brit Milah, yeah, not Brit Milah, doing the Shechita and the Zrika of the Korban Pesach at the same time. You know, we don't say that's a problem of Ein Osin Mitzvot Chavilot Chavilot. So that would perhaps be a support for the position there of the Tosfot. So essentially, the point is that the Rambam says Osin Mitzvot Chavilot Chavilot applies, applies when you've got the two things being done in parallel, even by different people, but not when it's the one person doing the thing, the two things sequentially. Whereas the Tosfot says it the other way around. Says, no, if one person's doing the things sequentially, that is osin mitzvot chavilot chavilot. That's if you bring them in together. But to do them to do them in parallel with two different, totally different people doing it, it's not a problem. Let's just finish off the Magen Avraham. V'in kein b'shnei sifrei Torah nogim karambam. So it must be that we're following the Rambam as far as two sifrei Torah is concerned. So lo kaptin al ha'ava'ah, we're not worried about the fact that you're bringing them to the bima at the same time, because you're not going to be laning from them at the same time. Ola ha'tosfot bevirkat ha'mazon shel nisuin. According to the Tosfot, okay, in our case, Birkat HaMazon of Nisuin, you can't bring the two kosot to the table at the same time. Because the Tosfot said it's only if you're doing two things in parallel with different people that it's not a problem of osin mitzvot chavilot chavilot. But if a person brings the two heftzas, if you like, at the same time, intending to use one and then intending to use the other, that's osin mitzvot chavilot chavilot. So according to the Tosfot, he says you would need to el alachar bikat hamazon yikos kach echad vivarek zayin brachot. But rather, you use one kos for bikat hamazon and then you take a second kos for the sheva brachot. Okay, so that's what the Magen Avraham seems to be saying, is that to follow the Tosfot, one would need to bring the two kosot one after the other, meaning not at the same time. The Rambam is not worried about you bringing them at the same time. But if you want to be choshesh to the shita of the Tosfot, then you would need to bring them one before Birkat HaMazon and one after Birkat HaMazon. It's interesting that for the you know, that the Magen Avraham is flagging that up, bearing in mind in Hilchot Sefer Torah, you know, the Rama is paskening that you bring them, you bring both Sifrei Torah out of the Aron HaKodesh at the same time, which is obviously following the Rambam. So, why he doesn't, say that's how we do it with the Birkat HaMazon as well, I'm not sure, except for the fact that, of course, he says, Chayim Mashma B'Torah V'Shulchan Aruch, because, what was the Lashon here? That's, Ella, Yesha Imla Ma Bikatam, Zain Brachot, of course, Bikatam, and so on. Ella, Mevi Kosacher, Vomer Allah Vav Brachot. So he's reading the Shulchan Aruch as saying that, yeah, you've benched over one kos, then you can't use that kos, so you need to be Mevi Kosacher. You need to go and get another kos. Okay, which hasn't yet been filled up. Yeah, you can, you know, debate whether that's exactly, you know, mashma in the Shulchan Aruch or not, but that's what the Magen Avraham in Orach Chaim is understanding. Let's look at the Taz.
Just quickly, yes. What is the source case of a mitzvot or sin chavilot?
It's a Gemara in Arvei Pesachim.
Okay, I mean, I
don't know if
I'm arguing about the definition, really, of what does it mean, mitzvot
chavilot, chavilot. Yeah. I mean, we've got enos in mitzvot chavilot, but when you've got two mitzvot, you know, either does it mean you can't do mitzvot in parallel, or you can't do mitzvot in sequence? That's the that's the question. So
would it not be helpful to take a step further back and say, what is the underlying reason that we don't do mitzvot, chavilot, chavilot? If I remember correctly, is it because it cheapens the mitzvah?
Right.
And see how that criterion applies in this case.
Right, I mean, it's the Gemara says so. It shouldn't seem like a masui on him. It shouldn't seem burdensome that you're just trying to get it all done in one go. But I think that'll work, you know, either according to the, you know, to the Tosfot or the Rambam. You can say it either way. That, you know, that, yeah, if I'm doing, you know, two milas one after the other, so I just want to get them done with. I'll bring both babies in now. Obviously, I can't cut the two foreskins in one go, but bring both babies in now, get it done with, do one, and I can move straight on to the other. That's mitzvot, you know, that seems burdensome. But if I've got two marlim, then it's a totally different story. They're not related to each other. Or you could say, no, that's, you bring them in, you're doing them in parallel. That's why, because, you know, we don't want to spend all day in shul, you know, with Brit Mila, just get them both done at the same time. So you can, you know, I think that'll work, you know, however you say it.
Maybe, I mean, the bringing in is not the main mitzvah. The
I understand, but clearly, you know, clearly the Rishonim, both, you know, the Rambam and the Tosfot, you know, see that as being, you know, part of the mitzvah, part of the, you know, it's the preparation for the, you know, for the mitzvah. Okay, let's look at the Taz, in Sifkatan Zayin. So the Taz, says as, let's just go from, right, he links it. Okay, we'll go through the whole Taz. So we say use two kosot. This is, you know, under the chuppah. V'odir ginin hafsip griyak ketubah v'intayim. V'chatav v'trishim v'dekatzvu menichol lefanav u'mevi'in lo kosacher. So what was the lashon in the Shulchan Aruch? The lashon in the Shulchan Aruch was that, Lashon and the Shulchan Aruch was that mevi kosacher. So the Drisha says we've got a lashon menichol afanav mevi'in lo kosacher. Yesh lilmod da'ein sarek lavi beit kosot yachad. Not that you mustn't bring them together, but that you don't have to. K'mo she'anu osin. We tend to bring them together, but he's saying the Drisha says you don't have to. V'gam pashut da'ein mevarachin davai haser ela al kos birkat hamazon. And Tavai Haser, you obviously say over the Birkas of Birkat Hamazon. However, the Taz says, So he says, number one, he thinks that Devai Haser, the introductory piyut, is actually, to some degree, part and parcel of the Sheva Brachot. Even though we say it before Birkat HaMazon, he's saying it's part of the Sheva Brachot. Because you don't say it when you just say Asher Bara. V'adai hu nachon la'asot kein, v'adai hasen is kasha she'ei Birkat Yishurun, b'ni, v'ahainu Birkat Chasanim. Tiyesh sham brachot al ha'atid al ha'chatan v'kala v'chol ha'mitaskim b'oto mitzvah. ומשום הכי באשר ברא לחוד, אין שם ברכה לחתן וכלה, אלא הודעה לחוד, אומרים נודה לשמך. So he's saying that, you know, the Dvai Haser is intrinsically linked, it's an introduction to the Sheva Brachot. You don't say it without the Sheva Brachot. If you're just saying one of the Brachot, you say nodeh l'shimcha instead. So he's saying Dvai Haser is part and parcel of the Sheva Brachot. משום הכי אין ראיה ממה שכתוב שחוזר ומביא כוס אחת, שם לא היה מנהג באמירת דבי הסה. כי אינו רק פיותך אחד, ועל כן אין צריך להביא בית כוסות ביחד. מה שאין כן בינינו שאומרים דבי הסה בשביל זין ברכות, על כן יש להביא ביחד. So this is a radical sheet of the Taz. The Taz says, against what the Magen Avraham was proposing, the Taz says, no, you should have both kosot there in front of you when you start Birkat HaMazon. V'lai omar davai haser al kosa achat shimiyached lezayim brachot, and say davai haser over one kos, and then achar davai haser menicho, put it down, v'notel akosh shem Birkat HaMazon, v'achar kachoze v'notel et shel zayim brachot, kein hu nachon. So I suppose the Taz would want you for Rabotai Nevareich to hold the Koshel Birkat HaMazon. He doesn't actually say that, but Lichora. Then when you start the Piyut of Devai Haser, take the Koshel Sheva Brachot. When you finish Devai Haser, and you go on to Birshut Maranav Rabbanav Rabotai, you want to pick up the Koshel Birkat HaMazon again. You hold that through Birkat HaMazon. You put that down at the end of benching. Take the Dvai Haser cost for the Sheva Brachot, or the Sheish Brachot, then put that down at the end and say Borei Pri Hagafen back over the Koshel Birkat HaMazon. So a lot of chopping and changing there. So we've got Min HaKatzeh LaKatzeh. The Magen Avraham says don't bring the second cost along until you finish Birkat HaMazon, whereas the Taz is saying you need the second cost right at the beginning of Birkat HaMazon. What does the Aruch HaShulchan say? במקום שאומרים קצת פיוט קודם ברכת המזון כמו דבי הסר או נודה לשמך, אומרים זה על כושר ברכת המזון, ואין אומרים דבי הסר אלא כשמפרקים זין ברכות, וכשאין אומרים רק אשר ברא אומרים נודה לשמך. Okay, so he argues with the Taz, and he says, no, דבי הסר you say over the כושר ברכת המזון. קיצר שולחן ערוך says, ואחר ברכת המזון לוקח כוש שני, ואומר עליהם שישה ברכות, ואחר כך מברך על הכוס של ברכת המזון בור פי הגפן, וטוב שלא למעלות את הכוס לשישה ברכות עד לאחר ברכת המזון. So this is like the shita of the Magen Avraham. He's saying וטוב שלא למעלות. Meaning, you know, if you've finished that before, it's not so terrible. Either because, you know, you're following the Rambam, which is what the Rama is following in Orach Chaim anyhow, or because, you know, the Taz wanted you to fill it up anyhow early on. So the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch is saying it's best to fill it up after the Birkat HaMazon. And then the Chochmat Adam says, V'ein sarich lahachin hakos sheni, ela ba'eit she'omer habrachot. So this is a bit different. He's saying, Vain sarich lahachin ela beit shomayis. He's rejecting the Taz. He's rejecting the Taz that you need to have the second kos filled when you say Birkat HaMazon, when you say the Dvai Haser at the beginning. You're not saying that you mustn't fill it till afterwards. So we've got the Magen Avraham says you shouldn't fill it till afterwards. You've got the Taz who says you should fill it before. And you've got the Chochmat Adam who says you don't need to fill it afterwards, but you can fill it afterwards. You can, sorry, you don't need to fill it before, but Lichari, you can if you want. So that's just sort of a bit all over the place. So whichever way you do it, clearly, yeshal milis smoch. Um, But it seems it would be best on a level, unless you've got a minhag to the contrary, it would be best to fill it up after Birkat HaMazon, because it seems that, you know, the only reason the Taz is saying to fill it up before is because of Devai Haser. And it's a bit of a chiddush, I think, to say that Devai Haser is a critical part of the Sheva Brachot. Okay, let's move on to another topic within Sheva Brachot, which we touched on last time, but needs to be dealt with. We got a bit distracted by this last time, but didn't deal with it fully. And that's the question of women reciting Sheva Brachot. So if we look back to the Rambam, so the Rambam said, Bekat Chatanim Mevarech, the Rambam doesn't mention that women and ketanim, the Rambam says that avadim and ketanim can't say the Sheva Brachot, but he doesn't mention that that women can't, even though in Hilchot Ishut, we flagged up last time that the Rambam says, obviously, for the Sheva Brachot, you need there to be 10 men present to the exclusion of women, because that was the din in the Mishnah in Megillah. So a first reading of the Rambam would seem to indicate to us that it's only Avadim and Ketanim who are excluded from saying the Sheva Brachot. So this is a point which is debated a little bit amongst by Poskei Zamanenu, as it were. And if you look in the Daf Makorot from last week, we have a couple of observations about this. Want to start with Rav Kapach's notes on the Rambam. And Rav Kapach says, "Vu adin nashim she'ein mevarachot, ki einan shayachot b'chol davar tzarich hasara, titrei kemea mea kitrei. V'chein b'kat asher barak, she'in emer levada b'beit ha'chatan, k'she'in panim chadashot einan nashim unrotota, kevan she'tu'una asara ledat rabbeinu, k'fi she'biardi b'perek bet divrachot." So Rav Kapach, just for those who are not familiar with Rav Kapach was a very prominent, preeminent, perhaps, Yemenite scholar, an authority on the Rambam, who was born in Yemen and made Aliyah to Eretz Yisrael in the early days of the state, and was Nifter, I think, about 10, 12 years ago, if I remember correctly, something like that. Very, very authoritative authority on the Rambam, and he's saying that women also don't say the Sheva Brachot, because anything which requires a minyan, by definition, women aren't part of anything. If you need a minyan to be able to do this, so then women aren't shaykh in that. Now, we can ask a number of questions against that, but let's just take it for the time being. That's what he's saying. We'll see some of the questions, you know, are flagged up in a moment. So, you know, hold your horses, gentlemen. But the question that I would ask, of course, on Rav Kapach is then why does he need to mention that Avadim and Ketanim don't say the Sheva Brachot? They also aren't shayach in something which is tzarich asara. But Rav Kapach takes it as a given that according to the Rambam, women don't say the Sheva Brachot. Rav Shaul Yisraeli, a contemporary, again, Nifter about 10 years ago or so, but a contemporary Israeli posek, also says that women can't say the Sheva Brachot as follows. Rambam Why doesn't the Rambam mention this? Kevon shebrachot elahim b'miskeret simchat chatan. Not because it's anything to do with requiring a minyan, but because what is the point of the sheva brachot? It's part of simchat chatan. She'ein al isha chovas uklal v'ikar. Women aren't part of this mitzvah whatsoever. Muvan shegam brachazu eina mevarechet. Women don't have a mitzvah to be mesameh chatan. That's a job for the men to do. The women aren't part of the mitzvah being mesameh chatan. The sheva brachot are part of the mitzvah being mesameh chatan. And again, we saw last week, you know, different ways of understanding the sheva brachot. But this is the approach that Rav Yisraeli is taking. The chiddush is that there's no lack of tzniut of avadim and ktanim being involved in the simchat chatan. So I might have thought they could say the brachot. That's not so. Seeing as they can't make up the minyan, so they don't say these brachot. So Rav Yisraeli has addressed the question that I just asked on Rav Kapach, which is, you know, why does the Rambam mention ketanim v'avadim uktanim, but not, you know, if women also can't? Because he's saying there's a havamina that avadim uktanim could say the brachot, where there's no havamina that women could say the brachot, because they're not shayach in the mitzvah of being mesameach chatan. Let's look, though, at what...
Avadim uktanim don't have that mitzvah?
Correct. No, his point is that avadim uktanim, I mean, lichora, they haven't got the mitzvah, they haven't got the obligation to do it because they're not chayv in mitzvot. But his point is that you might have thought that, okay, even though they haven't got a chiyuv, at least they could do it. You know, there's no chisaron of tzniut. He seems to be saying two things, really. He seems to be saying that, you know, why the sheva brachot are part of the mitzvah of being the sameh chatan, and women aren't part of the mitzvah of being the sameh chatan. Now, why is it that women aren't part of the mitzvah of being the sameh chatan? He seems to be saying that it might be an issue of tzniut. That's why women aren't the sameh chatan, because it's not tzanua for them to come along and dance in front of the chatan and be mesamech the chatan, and therefore they're not shaykh at all in this mitzvah. Whereas you haven't got that lack of tzniut there with the others. It's possible that he's thinking that, no, objecting, you know, women aren't chayav because it's a mitzvah to do with men. The mitzvah is being the mitzvah, as far as sheva brachot is concerned, is being the samech the chatan. There's a mitzvah also, samech chatanim hakala, maybe. But the mitzvah of sheva brachot is related to the chatan, and therefore women don't have a part in that mitzvah.
He's making a lot of assumptions. He's
Correct. And they're making assumptions, and it might be that they're coming with certain preconceived notions that it's obvious that women can't say the Shev Brachot, and we've just got to work out why they can't. So Rav Henkin, Zichrono Livracha, was Nifta just over a month ago. Rav Henkin never comes with preconceived notions and never makes assumptions. And a characteristic of his halachic approach is, you know, you always go back to basics and reread the text, because maybe you misunderstood what you've always believed to be correct is actually not correct. And if we have to change our way of understanding it, then so be it. So he has the tshuva in Hebrew, but I brought this in English. Some of his tshuvot are written up in English. So how can a woman write recite Asher Bara, since in Rambam's view 10 men are needed, and she's not counted among the 10? I think the one is independent of the other. A woman gives thanks after childbirth, and the sages instituted Birkat HaGomel for such purposes and required that 10 men be present. Yet everyone agrees that she recites the blessing even though she's not counted in the 10. So I would ask Akasha against the Birkat HaGomel, because Birkat HaGomel seems to be not that it's a Davar Shebikdusha, like the things mentioned in the Mishnah Masechet Megillah, but it's a din of b'makelot. The Gemara in Brachot learns it, and it seems to be that it's a din in pirsum, that there needs to be publicity given to it. That's why one of the issues that's been discussed in the past year is the question of saying Birkat HaGomel over Zoom. Everybody agrees that you can't daven in a minyan over Zoom. You can't say Kaddish and Kedusha over Zoom. But both Rav Osha Weiss in the Tshuva and Rav Herschel Schechter, they both say that Birkat HaGomel can be said over Zoom, because it's a matter of giving the matter publicity rather than needing a minyan. So that's
a woman and a child can say Kaddish.
That's what, roughly what he's going to say here. If not for Kavod HaTzibur, she could also read from the Torah, even though a minyan of men is required and women are not counted. So we see, a classic model there, that's where you need a minyan to be present, but a woman min hadin can participate in that ritual. So he suggests, so therefore, he said, don't take it as a granted that that anything that requires 10 men, women can't be part of. So too, women have the mitzvah of rejoicing the bride and groom as men do. Okay, so again, this is not an uncontested point, because as we'll see at the end of tonight's shiur, there's a question of whether or not the Sheva Brachot have any shaychus to the Kala, and also we had the question last week, what's the nature of the Sheva Brachot? Is it part of the Simcha of Chatan and Kala, or is it an obligation on the individual? But certainly there are those who are understanding it, the way that Rav Henkin has done. So too, women have the mitzvah of rejoicing the bride and groom as men do. And the sages instituted Birkat Chatanim for that purpose and required that 10 men be present and not 10 women. But a woman can still recite the blessing. So Rav Henkin is arguing against both what Rav Kapach said and what Rav Yisraeli said. Rav Kapach said, it's obvious that this is a mitzvah that needs a minyan, so obviously women can't be part of it. Rav Henkin has said, no, we've got a model of Kriyat HaTorah that they can be part of it, even though it needs a minyan. And as far as Rav Yisraeli's contention that women aren't shaykh in the mitzvah of being the Sameach Chatan, he says, no, women are part of the mitzvah of being the Sameach Chatan V'Kala. So Rav Henkin, who was simultaneously both radical and cautious as a posek, and in characteristic mode, his conclusion was that, min hadin, it seems that it's all right for women to say Sheva Brachot, but that's not the way that we do it, and one shouldn't seek to do it. The only case in which he says in practice that they can do it, he says, like, if you've got the Kala's friends, female friends are making a meal for them, there's not a minyan present, and they're having either a women's zimun, or maybe there are three men present. There's going to be recitation of Asher Bara, which doesn't require a minyan. It does require a mezuman, but it's not. But if you can have, nobody says it necessarily has to be a men's mezuman rather than a women's mezuman. So he thinks in that case it's fine for a woman to say the bracha of Asher Bara. That's in practice. In principle, he seems to think that all of the Shev Brachot women could say, but in practice, you know, one shouldn't look to rock the boats. It's interesting.
He had some.
Sorry?
He had some arguments about the partnership.
Oh, fine. I'm not going into to that now. We're dealing with this issue now.
What's the difference between Asher Barra and the rest of the Shepherd Brachot?
Asher Barra doesn't need a minion.
That's that one.
Correct. That's if you don't have a minion or you don't have Panim Chadashot, you say Asher Barra. So, interestingly, some years ago, I asked Moriva Rabbi Harav Lichtenstein, Zichrono Livracha, about women saying Sheva Brachot, and he didn't seem to have a view on the matter. He said to me, Rav Shlomo Levi has written an article on that, he thinks, have a look at that. Which I don't want to be mitayt too much from what his answer was, but it clearly wasn't poshut to him that of course they can't say. He was indicating that he hadn't looked into the sugya, enough to have a view on the matter. But again, without wanting to put words into his mouth or anything like that, you know, the implication was that there was room to entertain the notion that it could be possible. I'm not saying that he was paskening that it is possible, but, you know, without looking, without examining the sugya carefully, he wouldn't come to an automatic conclusion that it's osa. He didn't come to an automatic conclusion that it was mutter either. But that was just an interesting observation. Want to finish off with two practical, further practical issues. One is very, very regular, that you go to a wedding and you want to leave and they're not up to benching yet. And can you leave before the Sheva Brachot? Or do you have a chiyuv to hear the Sheva Brachot? So this is addressed by a number of poskim. Rav Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva, and he says essentially one can't leave before the Sheva Brachot. It's part of the chiyuv that you've got, and you need to be part of that mitzvah. In theory, he says you could, make up at your table. If you've got 10 people at your table, you could, you could bench with a minion and say the Sheva Brachot and then leave early. But, it's likely that your host is going to, get upset with you. So what he says is that you should, when you sit down to eat, you should have in mind that you're not being koveya suda with everybody else. That you're not, even though you happen to be sitting at the same table, that you're not actually part of their suda, and you're eating as an individual. He brings a model for that, from the fact that the Rama in Orach Chaim Kuf Tzadik Gimel talks about, the minhag that if you're in a Beit Akum, you were staying in a hostel, an inn or something like that, non-Jewish owned, and, you've got three Jewish merchants sitting eating breakfast together. Nevertheless, you bench without a mezuman. Likewise, on Erev Tisha B'Av, at the Sudat HaMaseket, even if you're there are three of you, you don't bench with a mezuman. That's because you're not koveya together. So you have in mind that you're not having kviyut together, and then you don't have you haven't eaten in a mezuman, and therefore you can leave before Birkat HaMazon. So that's
how can you say that when you're all going there for the purpose of attending the wedding? In the other cases, is that there you're not unified, you're not there for unified purposes.
No, but if you're sitting, they're all sitting down at the table together. You're sitting down at the table together. We're having a meal together. We're sitting, we're schmoozing, we're saying Divrei Torah, we're singing Nigunin, and having a Peiros Tish for for Tu Bishvat, and then it comes to benching, we're eating separately. But he said, you know, particularly if you have that negative kavana, he says that's effective. What I do in that case is I make sure not only to have the negative kavana, but I wait till everybody else on the table has sat down and started their meal, and then I go and wash and come and sit down. That obviously doesn't work if you're at one of these frum weddings where everybody shows up late and you think that you think you're the last, and it turns out that you're pretty much the first to sit down.
How about saying hamotzi and eating a kizayis out in the hall before you go into the corridor or in the place where the washing is, not then sitting down afterwards?
Would that help? We'd need to think about that. Not sure. But it's variations on the same theme. The point is that what Rav Moshe is saying is that if you eat your meal in such a way that you're not being kaveh with everybody else, then you can do that. So that's the Eitzah of Rav Moshe Feinstein. The Mincha Yitzchak has a different take on the issue. And he says that basically there's a parallel discussion. If you're at a place where there's a minion, you're generally speaking not allowed, you know, if you eat a meal with a minion, you're generally speaking, you've got that chiyuv of Birkat HaMazon with the minion, and you can't break away from them. But the halacha is that in certain instances, where it's impossible for you to stay, like Mishum Sorech Parnasa, and your anus to leave, so then, because of a hefsed, you are allowed to leave and bench without, you're allowed to forfeit the Birkat HaMazon with a minion and just bench with the mezuman, because the minion, the Birkat HaMazon with a minion is a derabanan rather than a doraita, and therefore you can forfeit that. So he says we've got a model for that there, and we can apply that model here also. That if it's if it's just that you're getting, you know, a bit bored with too many speeches, you're bored and you want to go home and watch the football, so that wouldn't be grounds to leave. If it's because you've got to get up early tomorrow morning, it's already 2 a.m. They haven't served dessert and they've just announced that the mitzvah tants is going to be before benching, so then you can bench and go. So that's the Minchat Yitzchak there. But I have to say, I think that I think Bali Simcha should actually should actually try and bench early to solve this problem. We made a wedding a year ago, I forget exactly what happened in the end, but our plan was that if we weren't benching by 10 o'clock, then we were going to do dessert after benching, so that people wouldn't get into that awkward trap. So I think in the end we benched at about 10:15. But I felt that the responsible thing as a Baal Simcha was to, people can have the, you know, a lot of people come 10 o'clock, they're ready to go home, you're doing everybody a favour, and you're doing them a halachic favour as well. So that would be an eitzah. Anybody making a wedding, I would give that eitzah. Final point that I wanted to discuss was just the question of what if the chatan and kala, or chatan or kala, weren't there. So there's a tshuva of the Maharam Shik in Evan Ha'ezer Simon Tzadik, where he says the case is that the chatan had to go away during Sheva Brachot. He was called away on urgent business, and he went away. So it comes Friday night. There's this big Sheva Brachot for the Kala. But there's no chatan there. So he says it's poshut that you wouldn't say the Sheva Brachot without the without the chatan being there, because it's a bracha for the chatan. The big question is, what if the kala's not there? So Rav Ovadia has a tshuva on this in Yabia Omer, Chelek Vav, Evan Ha'ezeh Simon Tet, when he brings this down as a machloket between the Ritva in Ketubot at the beginning and the Ran in the second parak of Masechet Sukkah. According to the Ritva, you need both the Chatan and the Kala to be present for the Sheva Brachot, whereas according to the Ran, it's only a din in the Chatan. It's the Sheva Brachot are part of the mitzvah being the Samech, the Chatan. They're not part of the mitzvah being Samech, the Kala. Therefore, if the Kala's not there, you say the Sheva Brachot. But if the Chatan's not there, you wouldn't. Whereas the Ritva says you need both of them to be present to say the Sheva Brachot. Rav Avadi Yosef paskens the Safek Brachot Nahakel. And therefore, unless both of them are present, then you don't say the Sheva Brachot. So, as I mentioned last time, that's a case that comes up from time to time. Okay, Adkan for this week. And next week, Be'ezrat Hashem, carry on. I want to look at next week the din of Shana Rishona, and also the din of Isur Melacha for a Chatan and Kala, and some related issues.